ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा माई जमुना माई की जय। तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय। श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड। श्री गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर नंबर 20 वर्स नंबर 3। गुणदोष विदा दृष्टिम् अंतरेण वचस्तव निःस्त्रियेशं कथं नृणाम् निषेध विधिलक्षणम्। गुणदोष विदा दृष्टिम् अंतरेण वचस्तव निःश्रेयसं कथं नृणाम् निषेध विधिलक्षणम्। गुणदोष विधा दृष्टिम् अंतरेण वचस्तव निःश्रेयसं कथं नृणाम् निषेध विधि लक्षणम्। माताजीस
अंतरेण वचस्तव
वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग, गुणा पाइटी, दोष सिन, भिदा द डिफरेंस बिटवीन, दृष्टिम सीइंग, अंतरेण विदाउट, वचह वर्ड्स, तब योर, निःश्रेयसम परफेक्शन ऑफ लाइफ लिबरेशन, कथम हाउ इज इट पॉसिबल, निर्णाम फॉर ह्यूमन बीइंग्स, निषेध प्रोहिबिशंस, विधि पॉजिटिव इंजंक्शंस, लक्षणम कैरेक्टराइज्ड बाय, Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Without seeing the difference between piety and sin, how can one understand your own instructions in the form of Vedic literatures, which order one to act piously and forbid one to act sinfully? Furthermore, without such authorized Vedic literatures, which ultimately award liberation, how can human beings achieve the perfection of life? If one does not accept the necessity of performing pious activities and avoiding sinful activities, it becomes very difficult to understand authorized religious scriptures. And without such scriptures, how can human beings attain salvation? This is the essence of Sri Uddhava's question. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्यदेश तारिने वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग द कॉन्वर्सेशन बिटवीन श्री उद्धव जी एंड लॉर्ड श्री कृष्णा एंड दिस एंटायर पोर्शन इज कॉल्ड उद्धव गीता. So all the topics that we find in the Bhagavad Gita, they are discussed in great detail in this part of Bhagavatam. And here also we see that Uddhavji is expressing his ignorance about some subject matter. Because Krishna has instructed that one must rise beyond the pious and sinful activities, pious and sinful reactions. So Uddhava is expressing ignorance, not able to understand how can this be, because all the scriptures are filled with do's and don'ts. So if somebody doesn't worry about this, how can anybody ever achieve liberation? So he's expressing his ignorance. But essentially we see two possibilities here. Either the Lord is, of course, He is the one who is the doer. He is putting Uddhavji into ignorance, just like He did to Arjuna, so that He could ask questions. and Krishna could answer for the benefit of all of us. Or Uddhav ji is asking this just, he himself is convinced and he is asking for all of us, just like Parikshit Maharaj was asking many questions to Shukadev Goswami. But in any case, we do not undermine the position of Uddhav ji, because he is the disciple of Brihaspati. And he has studied Srimad Bhagavatam also fully under Brihaspati for one full month. And that's how he gained his position to become Krishna's eternal servant and such a close associate. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmya from the Skanda Purana mentions, Uddhavji was asked, how did he attain such a close position of being an associate of Krishna forever? Because in Dwarka he had the most intimate connection with Krishna. So Uddhavji answers himself, because he studied Srimad Bhagavatam, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his Guru Brihaspati for one full month. And that one month service to Bhagavatam got him the position of Krishna's close, confident associate forever. So this is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he recited the same Srimad Bhagavatam to the queens of Dwarka at Kusum Sarovar, and because they were feeling separation from Krishna. And as he was completing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the queens of Krishna, they could see Krishna manifest in front of them. They could see themselves participating in pastimes with Krishna. And at the end of this narration for 1 month, they entered into Krishna's pastimes. So that is the position of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when the gopis were feeling separation from Krishna, Uddhavji was sent as Krishna's most confidential associate to pacify them. It was the most confidential message for Krishna's most confidential devotees. And there also he gave a lot of jnana to the gopis. So there is no dearth of knowledge in Uddhavji. He cannot be in ignorance. So when the great devotees of the Lord, they are found to be acting out of ignorance, we cannot judge them, because Krishna is personally orchestrating their life. He is controlling their full senses to the degree of their surrender. Krishna surya sama maya haya andhakar, jahan nahi, jahan Krishna tahan nahi maya radhikar. So wherever there is Krishna, there cannot be any darkness. Darkness is compared to ignorance, and Krishna is compared to the sun. Whenever the sun rises, whatever darkness may be there, it all vanishes. There cannot be any ignorance. So similarly, we understand, since Uddhavji is such a great devotee of the Lord, there cannot be any ignorance on his part. So he is being used an instrument by Krishna to elaborate on the teachings that he has given in the Gita. Because Gita is a graduate study, but Srimad Bhagavatam is post-graduation. And this is the proof. All the principles that Krishna has spoken about in the Gita are demonstrated through the lives of great devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam. And all those teachings are elaborated. So his question is, how is it that a person forgets pious and sinful activities, then how will he ever gain liberation? Because all the scriptures are full of that, and the scriptures are coming from Krishna. So pious and sinful activities, in the Gita also Krishna explains, they cannot give us liberation. When a person is pious, does good to others, minus Krishna, doing good to others but no presence of God in those good activities, that's called punya. And that will ultimately give him nice birth next life, nice facilities to enjoy. Whatever he gives, it comes back to him. Minimum in the same proportion, and it all depends on the recipient of that service that a person is doing to others. Like Padma Purana mentions the progression. If somebody offers to, say, a needy person, he gets the same proportion in return in his next life. If to a Brahmana, then 10 times, so learned Brahmana 100 times, something like that. And it is mentioned clearly, that when somebody offers something for the service of Krishna to his devotees, then the returns are unlimited. There's no number mentioned. Other things, numbers are mentioned. So punya and papa. And to enjoy or suffer for both, one has to be in the material world. Therefore, liberation is not guaranteed. Therefore, Krishna is saying that one must rise beyond these two. Because even if you perform punya, at max one may go to heavenly planets, but then again falls down and stays in the material world. The birth, old age, disease, death, anxiety, it continues. In the Gita, Krishna explains, right from Brahmaloka to the lowest planet, all are places of misery. And therefore, wherever the... So this is not intelligence that the person is working hard to enjoy something for a prolonged period, but again has to go through suffering, disease, death. Even the heavenly planets, people have to die, they have to come down. So pious and activity, pious and sinful activities, they keep us bound. They do not give us liberation. So, because pious activities, they are related to the devatas, and they themselves are not liberated, so how can they give anybody else liberation? So only a person who himself is not bound, he can free others. So therefore, one of the names of Krishna is Mukunda. Mukunda means the giver of liberation. Nobody else is called Mukunda. So unless he comes into the picture, there is no chance of liberation. Pious and sinful activities related to this material world, the benefits are given by the demigods who themselves are not bound. And therefore, a person stays in the material world. As Krishna explains in the Gita, those who worship the demigods, they go to them. Those who worship the ghosts, they go to them. Those who worship the ancestors, they go to them. And those who worship me, they come to me. So very simple. Pious activities, at max, heavenly planet, but resultant good birth. But again, the miseries of old age, birth and disease and anxiety, they'll continue. And of course, when sinful activities, degradation to lower species of life after suffering in the hellish planets. The only thing which is permanent is the devotional credits that we acquire during our lifetime. Even Brahma is not free from anxiety. His is the topmost planet in the material world. What is his anxiety? He lives for 100 years. And he creates this whole set of species of life within a particular universe. All kinds of species he has to associate with, the pious, the sinful, some people in between, like the human beings. He has to create them. And he goes to sleep at night, which is of course, he has a long day. 14 Manus come and go in one day of Brahma. And when he gets up, all that he had created the previous day is finished. Because all the planets, when Brahma goes to sleep, below his planet they are destroyed. So every day he gets up and he has to create again. So you can imagine the anxiety Brahma has. If something we create every day, and next morning we get up, it's all gone, we have to create again, put in all that effort. So that is Brahma's anxiety. His anxiety is not like ours day to day, on day to day basis. Like the anxiety the human beings suffer, troubled by the mind and the body. But his anxiety is this. Whatever he creates, next morning he has to again create it. So only the satsang people do, the devotional activities people perform, that is the only thing that can save a person. And in the sixth chapter, Krishna has explained that the devotional credits, they are carried forward to the next life. They don't get vanished. Everything else is temporary. But even if somebody has done double PhD in this life, next life he has to begin from LKG only. The devotional credits, of course, they are carried forward. And we begin from where we left off in the past life. There is this true story from... this was being told by the preachers of the Sikh religion. And that lady later on also became a preacher. So they were preaching and they would do their satsang. Guru Granth Sahib, if we study, you will find it is only filled with names of Krishna, full of Krishna's names. And so this lady, these preachers, wherever they were going to do satsang, they would find this lady sitting right in front. Even if they were having satsang 2000 kilometers away, 400 kilometers away, she was sitting right in front. So they would see her, they noticed her, then they called her one day. They said, wherever we go, we see you sitting in front. So what is the reason? Are the family members troubling you that you are only spending your time in satsang wherever we are going? She said, no. My family members are very nice. But there is something that has happened in my life. And because of that, I cannot afford to miss even a single satsang now. I have made it my life and soul. Then she narrated her story. Her name was Satnam Kaur. She said, I had done unlimited amount of charity in my life. Every day I would feed so many people food. I would give them clothes. I would help them. I helped so many people, fed so many people. It was daily affair. And my family members, sometimes they would pull me to a satsang, but I was not interested. One fine day, they just pulled me. So I sat in the satsang. But after 20 minutes, I got bored and I just left. And one day, I died. And when I died, the Yamadutas came. They bound me up and it was very painful. And they are taking me through this path which is so scary. And there is no water, there is no food. I was feeling hungry, thirsty. And it, exactly as Garuda Purana and the Bhagavatam explains, the path to the hellish planets. And she's saying, I was feeling so desperate. They are shouting at me and I was really getting scared. Yamadutas are anyways very scary, and when they shout, it's even more scary. So that's, and she was really troubled on the way. And then she had to cross a river. That is also mentioned in Bhagavatam and in the Garuda Purana. This river is not filled with water, it is filled with obnoxious substances, blood, urine, pus, all that. And they said, you have to cross it. You have to swim across this. And she got really scared. She said, I cannot do this. This is impossible. She said, you have to do this. They're trying to scare her. And suddenly she sees a lady, a young lady dressed in white. She's narrating this, her own story to these six saints. And she says, then I see this young lady dressed in white coming to me. And she says, don't worry. I'll help you cross this river. She picked me up, she said, and she helped me across the river. And then I was so relieved. Then I told her, thank you so much for saving me. Thank you so much. If you were not there, I would have died. But she was already dead, of course. So she said, don't thank me. This lady dressed in white, she said, do not thank me. I am that 20-minute satsang of yours. Because you did that 20 minutes of satsang, so I've come to save you. So you don't have to thank me. You deserve it. So she said, what? 20 minutes satsang saved me? What about all those people I fed every day? I distributed so much clothes and food and things like that. She said, oh, that is punya. That punya you have to deal with on earth only. On Prithvi Lok only. Anything which goes with the soul is the satsang that he has done, the devotional service that he has done. The rest, everything is dealt with on Prithvi Loka, Papa and Punya both. Anything with that saves or goes with the soul is the satsang that we do. And then she disappeared. This lady was brought. She is saying, I was brought in front of Yamaraj. And then as soon as Yamaraj saw me, he said, hey, this is a mistake. Whom have you brought? You didn't have to bring this Satnam Kaur. you had to bring the Satnam Kaur living next door, her neighbor. So she should go back. And as soon as he said this, this lady, she got up from being dead and she saw all the relatives and the friends were crying around her. They got shocked. And she thought, she's explaining this, she said, I thought I was dreaming, but then suddenly I heard some people's cry next door. Then I realized the lady next door, whose name was also Satnam Kaur, had died. So then I really made up my mind, this 20 minutes of satsang could bring me back to life. It could save me from such dangerous situation. So what if I do it more often? So since then I resolved that I will not miss even a single satsang, wherever it might happen. All my piety, all my charity did not save me, but this one thing saved me. So therefore, I've decided to dedicate my life fully to this now. And that's what Krishna explains in the second chapter, 40th verse. Sva alpamapi yasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Neha vikrama nashavasti pratyavayo na vidyate. Sva alpamapi yasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. That in this path there is no loss or diminution. And even the greatest advancement that we have made will save us from the greatest fear in life. So this is the path on which the path of devotional service is such that one can run blindly. Even if somebody falls down, what is the loss? Shukadeva Goswami says. And even if somebody performs other activities which is devoid of devotional service, what is the gain? Aradhito yadi hari tapasa tatha kim, na aradhito yadi hari tapasa tatha kim. If you worship Lord Krishna, Lord Hari, then what is the need of performing all other rituals and charity and dan, dharma, tapa? And if you are not worshipping Hari, then what is the use of performing dan, dharma, tapa, charity, austerities, rituals? So therefore, this path of bhakti is so special that even a devotee who is one day old or even one moment old, he is accepted by Krishna and Krishna takes charge of that person. And as soon as one comes in touch with Krishna, the journey has begun and liberation is guaranteed. But any amounts of pious activities a person does, they do not guarantee liberation. At max, a person can get the position of Brahma if he leads a sinless life for 100 lifetimes without even having a single sinful thought. But not beyond that. A person may become Indra or Brahma, is really, really, really pious. But then again he has to die and fall down. Come back to the material world. Brahma, of course, by the mercy of the Lord, because he's directly engaged in the service of the Lord, he goes back to the spiritual world. But the position of Brahma is not easy to achieve. If somebody thinks, okay, I'll do a lot of punya and become Brahma, but that's very difficult. And especially when the position of Brahma is chosen by Krishna, the person for the post of Brahma is chosen by Krishna. He is not elected, he is selected. And similarly Indra, and similarly the other demigods also. And if there is no qualified person, Krishna himself becomes Brahma or Indra. It's not that the post is not filled so we can make any person sit on this post. So therefore anything which is in relation with Krishna is liberating. Anything minus Krishna is binding. Therefore, Krishna is telling Uddhava to rise beyond the pious and sinful activities. Because as long as a person is, they are the chains. Because both the pious and the sinful activities, they are under the three gunas. And three gunas are material. So as long as a person is bound by the three gunas, he is in the material world. He will not go beyond the material world. Therefore, Krishna comes down again and again in this material world. He sends these scriptures for our guidance, what to do, what not to do. But the Vedas are not all in all. Of course, the goal of Vedas is Krishna himself. Vedas sarve ahameva vedya. But all the scriptures are not meant for everyone, different grades of individuals. But the highest, one must not get stuck. If somebody is studying in second standard, so if he considers that as the goal, then that's not very intelligent. So one must rise higher. Similarly, Vedas, Upanishads, they are meant to gradually elevate us and not get stuck. So ultimately, we have to come to Gita, and the highest is Srimad Bhagavatam, and which gives the highest knowledge. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Gita, Krishna sends all these scriptures for our guidance, so that we can rise beyond the pious and sinful activities, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam. The second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out this conception that all kinds of superficial religious rituals, that include the pious activities as well, are thoroughly kicked out in this scripture, celebrated Srimad Bhagavatam. So right from the beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam is very clear, talking about the highest. And only person who can give liberation is Mukunda, Krishna. So unless we do something in relation to him, it is impossible to get liberation. There's another story in the life of, there was this personality, we must have heard the name, Hanuman Prasad Poddarji. He was the first editor of Gita Press. And he translated so many books. And Srila Prabhupada also had a meeting with him once when Prabhupada was trying to print books. And he had given some donation for Srimad Bhagavatam printing. So he was a businessman and he used to live at Marine Drive only. But very, very elevated personality, highly advanced. And he used to chant 40 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So one evening he was chanting after his office near Chapati. And as he was chanting, he saw a person standing close by, but he was not even speaking, just kept looking at him. So then Hanuman Prasad Poddarji asked him, "So what happened? Do you want to say something? How can I help you?" He was a very gentle person. So this person spoke up. He said, "If I tell you who I am, I hope you won't get scared." He said, "No, no, please tell me." He said, "I am a ghost. And our life is so difficult that we can't eat, we can't sleep. And we are constantly afflicted with hunger and thirst. We can't even speak, we are so helpless. But just by seeing you and because you are chanting Harinam, so many of my sinful reactions are gone. So therefore at least I am able to speak to you. Otherwise we can't even speak." And he said, "How can I help you?" He said, "Please help me get liberated from this sinful condition. Mera antim samskar thik se nahi hua hai." He was from the Parsi tradition. He said, "But your tradition also has some ways in which the body is treated after death." He said, "And we all know how they place the body. It is placed in open to be eaten up by vultures." But any case, he asked, different traditions have the different ways. "But didn't that give you liberation as per your tradition? Didn't that give you mukti?" He said, All this so-called dharma is here only. Made by men, made by people. There, when once we die, we are only treated according to the Vedic tradition. It's all made up here. But there, the only rules that are applicable are those which are mentioned in the Vedic literature. So please help me now." I said, "How can I help you?" "Please send somebody to Gaya and perform a Shraddha ceremony for me. Perform a puja for me." And then Hanuman Prasad ji said, "I'll do that, but before you leave, please do let me know, confirm that you're all right now." And he said, "Yes." So he sent somebody, puja was performed at Gayaji. Gayaji is famous for this mukti because Lord Vishnu's footprints are present there, so they are worshipped. That's why without being in touch with Krishna, Vishnu, there's no liberation. So puja hone ke baad, this person came back, Hanumanji was again chanting one evening, then person appeared, and this time he was smiling. He came close, he said, yes, now I am fine. Now I am leaving. I am moving on now. Thank you so much. So without Krishna's presence, people, when they manufacture so-called dharmas, mano-dharmas, it is not possible to gain liberation. Hence Krishna is advising Uddhavji to rise above pious and sinful activities. And therefore Krishna personally comes down to this world just to establish that connection with us, or so that we can establish a connection with him, because that will guarantee liberation, mukti, from all kinds of bondage, frustration and suffering. And he performs various pastimes so that we have something to discuss about later on. And anything in relation to Krishna, his name, form, qualities, pastimes, everything, whatever we come in touch with, it guarantees liberation. Of course, a devotee doesn't even want liberation. We may begin these activities with the goal of liberation in mind, but after some time, as we get purified, we don't even want liberation. And liberation in any case is a byproduct of bhakti, is a maidservant of bhakti. So therefore the Lord is performing leelas. So devotees like to discuss the Lord's leelas not for liberation, just because it pleases the Lord. And in return, it pleases them also. The Lord releases that satisfaction and bliss from within. So one such leela we'll discuss today. It's a very special day also. The Dahichida festival, which took place almost 500 years back in the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So this is the proof that who is God. Whenever some great person does something, it becomes a news. Suppose a celebrity, what he eats, when he moves out of the house, or what he wears, what he speaks, everything is in the news. People are, but for how long? Depends on how great he is. Even if it's the president or the prime minister, depends on the degree of his position that he has. But not for long, it remains a news. But when the greatest personality does something, it becomes a news forever. Even when he eats, even when he cheats, even when he runs away from the battlefield, even when he steals, it has become a news forever. And nobody likes to talk about thieves, but when Krishna does it, he becomes famous for it. Nobody likes to talk about when somebody leaves the battlefield, but Krishna runs away and he becomes famous again. And we are still talking about finding pleasure in those activities. So we have done so many picnics, nobody talks about it. Sometimes even we don't want to talk about our picnics, retreats, because they are so tiring. What to speak of others talking about it. But Lord Nityananda had a beautiful pastime with his devotees 500 years back, and it has become a news and it is being celebrated. So today is the Dahichida festival. This is a reciprocation with the Lord and his devotee. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and a very, very close associate of Lord Chaitanya, who had descended from the spiritual world. His father was Govardhan Majumdar and uncle Hiranya Majumdar. They were the tax collectors of a village in Bengal called Saptagram. They were from the Kayasth community, and very intelligent community this is. Some years back, there was some survey done that which community is producing maximum number of IAS officers. So 68% were Kayasthas, extremely intelligent. So Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar, they got this seva from the government. They had a deal where they would collect taxes, and a part of it they could keep and a part of it was to be given to the government, the Nawabs at that time of Bengal. And Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar, they were very, very closely associated with the devotees in Navadvip, devotees in Brahmana. They were supposed to collect 20 lakh gold coins. At that time it was huge. And they had to give 15 lakhs to the government. But they were only giving 12. And they were keeping extra 3. And the person who was serving Govardhan, who was earlier collecting the taxes, he naturally became very envious and he was just looking for an opportunity to put them into trouble. So he came to know and he reported to the governor and brought the minister. And Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, they ran away because they didn't want to be arrested. Their son Raghunath Das Goswami, he was so charming, so beautiful, that he won the heart of this envious person, and he struck a deal between both of them, and everything was peaceful. I'm just telling in short. So Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar, they were very famous, and they were very devoted, exalted, and very rich at that time. And they had made a small temple and a garden for another associates of Lord Chaitanya named Yadunandan Acharya, where Yadunandan Acharya would worship the deities. Raghunath Das Goswami at that time was a small child, and he would regularly go to this temple, hear from Yadunandan Acharya about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one fine day, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur visited this temple and he spent quite some time. And Haridas Thakurji was chanting, narrating the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami would hear from him regularly, associate with him, observe his character. And just by that association, he developed a burning desire to serve Lord Chaitanya, just that association, hearing from the pure mouth of Haridas Thakur, and he wanted to be like him. Therefore, he tried to run away from his home many times. But every time he would try to run away to join Lord Chaitanya at Puri, his father would send guards and they would bring him back. So all his attempts were failing. And they were in anxiety, the parents, constantly. So the mother one day tells the father, her husband, that why not just bind him up? And the father replies, who can bind him? He has wealth like that of an Indra, opulence, and he has a wife who is more beautiful than an apsara, an angel. If these two things cannot bind a person, these are the biggest causes of bondage in this world. If these two things cannot bind a person, then what else can bind him? How can the ordinary ropes bind a person like him? He has become a madman of Lord Chaitanya, and that is because Lord Chaitanya has bestowed his full mercy upon him. That is why nobody can bind him. Raghunath Das Goswami was always looking for an opportunity to run away, but then he was unsuccessful. He heard close by in Panihati, Lord Nityanand had come with his associates, because he was sent by Lord Chaitanya to preach in Bengal. He was resting in that place on the banks of Ganga, Panihati. Raghunath Das Goswami thought he was not able to meet Lord Chaitanya, so let's at least go and meet Lord Nityananda. And father, of course, allowed, but with guards, with some servants and some money. And he went. He saw Lord Nityananda sitting under a tree on a stone, and his effulgence was like millions of rising suns. And there were his closest associates seated next to him, fanning him, serving him. There were many others also. And seeing this opulence of Lord Nityananda, so his beautiful form, effulgent like millions of suns, he was astonished, it is mentioned. And seeing that vaibhav, or the aishwarya of Lord Nityananda, Raghunath Das Goswami simply bowed down, but from a distance. And one of the associates of Nityananda Prabhu, he shouted, "Hey, this is Raghunath. Raghunath has come." And Nityananda Prabhu immediately looked at Raghunath Das Goswami. He said, "Oh, Raghunath, you are a thief. You have come here and you are offering obeisances from a distance. I'll have to punish you. You will be punished." He said, "Come here, come closer." But Raghunath Das Goswami was hesitant to go close to Nityananda Prabhu, feeling very humble. Then Nityananda Prabhu personally came and pulled him towards him and put his lotus feet on the head of Raghunath Goswami. And that's how he blessed him. He said, "Since you have committed a great sin, you are acting like a thief, you should be punished. So therefore, you should feed chira dahi to all my associates. And this was not a punishment, this was a great service. And Raghunath Das Goswami, of course, was extremely happy. And he sent his servants to the village to buy everything that they had, the chira, dahi, sweetmeats, milk, and bananas. And there are almost 300, 400 small pots that were also purchased. Then he got 7 bigger pots in which the whole thing was to be preserved. And then he put half of the portion, the chida which they had, the chipped rice, in one big pot and with milk in it, hot milk. And then half of it was mixed with yogurt and half of it was mixed with condensed milk. And camphor and sugar, these things were added later on. And then when this was done, the first offering of course was made to Lord Nityananda in a big pot. And then all the devotees, so nearby villages, they heard about this festival going on, so they also came. Then Raghunath Das Goswami saw the numbers increasing. He sent his servants again to buy everything from the nearby villages. They bought everything. Then other brahmanas and the local known people, they also came. Then he had to buy everything. And then some other villagers, they came to know there is some picnic or mela going on. So they came up and set up their shops so that people could buy. They saw business. So Raghunath Das Goswami bought everything that they had and used that same material only, cooked it and served them only. So there were so many people, it is said. Some, the closest associates were sitting with Lord Nityananda on the platform where he was sitting, eating. Some were sitting down around, just like the cowherd boys. Everybody was reminded of Krishna and Balaram sitting on the banks of Ganga and surrounded by cowherd boys and eating their food. And this is how they were sitting in circles. And some people could not find place. Hare Krishna. On the platform where Lord Nityananda was seated, and not even around him, they went to the banks of Ganga. Some people could not find place even on the banks of Ganga. Because each devotee was given 2 pots each. One chipped rice mixed with yogurt and other one chipped rice mixed with condensed milk. So they were carrying their pots, and since they could not find place anywhere, even on the banks of Ganga, there was no place. So many people had joined. So they were standing in the Ganga waters and eating. So this was the kind of festival going on, and of course Lord Nityananda was extremely happy. And then in his meditation, Nityananda Prabhu called for Lord Chaitanya, who was in Puri. And immediately, Lord Chaitanya appeared. But only very fortunate devotees could see that Lord Chaitanya has actually appeared. Then they started walking. They put their hands on each other's shoulders. And they were walking in those two, the lines in which devotees were seated, in the middle of those two lines. And Nityananda Prabhu started picking up little chipped rice from each pot and he started putting it in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mouth. And they were in the mood of cowherd boys, and laughing, giggling. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started picking up chipped rice from each pot and he started putting it in Nityananda Prabhu's mouth. That's how they were enjoying. But nobody could see, only very few fortunate closest associates could see what Lord Nityananda was doing. And after this, there were 4 special pots which were filled with boiled paddy. Rice, chipped rice made from boiled paddy. That specially Nityananda Prabhu offered to Lord Chaitanya. And they started enjoying. They sat down across each other. And at that time, another associate of Lord Chaitanya, Raghav Pandit, who was a great cook, he came. And he said, Nityananda Prabhu, I have cooked the entire feast for you in front of deities. It is lying and you are eating here. And Lord Nityananda said, don't worry, let me eat here now. In the evening I'll come and eat at your place also. So Raghav Pandit also joined. And this is how the whole festival was celebrated. Nobody was denied. There was as many people came, they were accepted by Raghunath Das Goswami. They were made to sit and pose. There were 20 people serving. And nobody was denied. When they were falling short, Raghunath Das Goswami would send his people, buy more, keep buying. But nobody should go back hungry. So that, of course, is Srila Prabhupada's mood also when he was in Mayapur. He said, nobody should go hungry within the radius of 10 miles of our temple. So Prabhupada said on one occasion, our movement is a kitchen religion, prasad. Prasad, the literal meaning of the word prasad is mercy. So it should be distributed abundantly without any discrimination. And Prabhupada said once, why do we worry about resources? Srimati Radharani runs the temple. She will supply when she sees we are using what she is giving to serve her children. So of course this is a theory which I have just narrated in short. At lunchtime will be the practical of this Panihati Chida Dahi festival. And thank you very much. Hope all of you will enjoy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
आप तो इटरनल एसोसिएट हैं।